All right. And here we are again. It is Tuesday night, for those of you that don't know what day it is. It is 7 o'clock. You are listening to WRFG 89.3 FM Atlanta. Welcome to Alternative Perspectives, Atlanta's only local radio hour devoted exclusively to issues affecting the queer community. I am your host, Greg Bossen. Thank you so much for listening. Now, this disclaimer is ever more important today than usual because of our guest. The opinions expressed here are those of myself and my guest and do not necessarily represent the views of WRFG, its employees, board, volunteers, funders, or listeners. So if you are offended at anything that either I say or my guest says, please understand that it is not a reflection on the radio station. It's just a reflection on the guest or myself. Well, and you, I guess. All right. So tonight's show may surprise you. So you guys need to hold on tight for this one. Now, WRFG is a progressive radio station for sure. And as you are aware, if you listen to us at all, many in the RFG family, WRFG family, consider themselves liberal in their views. Most would say that this is a liberal-leaning based station. WRFG is all about giving a voice to communities who have been misrepresented or underrepresented. So that's another purpose. We're a progressive radio station, but specifically those who suffer oppression, and this is from our mission statement, those who suffer oppression or exploitation based on class, race, sex, age, creed, sexual orientation, disability, or immigrant status, these are the communities that this station attempts to serve. And this is one reason why this show, Alternative Perspectives, exists, to give a voice to the LGBTQ plus community so that we may express ourselves, our desires, and receive information that is important to us. Okay, so but we are a progressive radio station, and again, this means the vast majority of the WRFG family has views that are more liberal and more in line with much of the ideas of the Democratic Party, as opposed to the Republican Party. So this, of course, begs the question: what do we do with members of our queer community who identify as Republican? Should they be barred from being on the station? They're queer. Should I bar them from being on this show? Being gay, these people are still subject to oppression, and giving them representation would seem in line with WRFG's mission. Yet, these Republican, gay Republicans, their views may seem to conflict with many of the core principles or core values of WRFG. So it's really a quandary that I found myself in. But after thinking about it for a while, I decided that it's better to be inclusive than exclusive in the long run. And that here at Alternative Perspectives, all of our queer brothers, sisters, and otherwise deserve to be heard, okay? So tonight we have a very special guest. I don't know if you know him or not, Jamie Inslee. And Jamie is the caucus leader of the Metro Atlanta and North Georgia, I called it region, is that fair to say?
Well, we're really over the whole state, really.
Oh, okay, because according to the website, there's somebody who has South Georgia, but you've taken over that position?
Yeah, well, I've had the whole thing up. They kind of like report to...
So you're the big man in charge, then. Okay, so Jamie's the big man in charge. All right, so of the Log Cabin Republicans. So for those of you that don't know, Log Cabin Republicans, they've been around for a while. They are the nation's original and largest organization representing LGBTQ plus conservatives and straight allies who support fairness, freedom, and equality for all Americans. So we have Jamie on the show. Welcome. How are you?
Wonderful. Thanks for your conservative outreach on your program. I appreciate being here.
I know. Well, I did have somebody when I was first starting the show, like over a year ago, and I was thinking about ideas for the show. I had this one person who said, well, you know, you could have Jamie Inslee on. He's the log cabin Republican guy, and he could drive you crazy for a while. And I was like, well, I think I'm already crazy. So I think that this will be all right. So we are going to talk about log cabin Republicans, their history. We're going to talk about some of their beliefs, and me and him are going to get into a fight about some of this stuff. So it's very exciting, but he's cool. I like him. He's fine. So before we do any of that, though,
news of the queer.
I know that's right.
Oh, no, she didn't say what?
I know it's really kind of lame, but anyway. All right, so this is the part where we do our little news. I'm going to start locally. I'm going to work out from there. So the first news story I have, and I didn't tell you about this, Jamie, but it's not anything that's a shock, but this is really sad. I don't know if you've heard about this, but another Atlanta Pride Committee member has resigned. This happened today. Jamie, off your phone. I am talking to you, sir. All right. So, okay. Another Atlanta Pride Committee member resigned, and a longtime volunteer said a severe conflict of interest. That's why this person resigned. By Pride's executive director had him in fear of losing his full-time job. So I don't know if you know about this, Jamie, but there's been a big shakeup going on at the group that puts on Atlanta Pride between members of the staff and members of the board, basically. Sebastian Beckham Nix is an employee of the Rush Center, which counts Atlanta Pride as one of its tenants, and he volunteers on the Atlanta Pride Committee. As the executive director, Jamie Ferguson is also on the Rush Center board. But anyway, this employee, Sebastian, I'll call him, has said that he fears the executive director, Ferguson, would push for his firing for revealing any Pride matters he witnessed as a Rush Center employee. Nix didn't want to take the risk, according to his resignation letter he sent to the Atlanta Pride board and committee members on Thursday. My dual roles, I've muddied the water enough, and I am no longer comfortable volunteering with Atlanta Pride for fear of retaliation at my place of employment. So this is really sad. There's really a lot going on here. I did a little story on it before, and we probably should have a show on this.
Yeah.
But Atlanta Pride is governed by a 12-person board of directors and includes 3 staff members and the executive director. Atlanta Pride Committee and volunteers, according to the organization's website. The executive director reports to the board chair. The Pride Committee plans and implements the organization's events, including the annual Pride Festival. The board chair resigned in October of last year after a failed effort to oust the executive director. He warned that the organization faced financial issues, management issues, and sponsor complaints, which the executive director denied. Then Atlanta Pride tried to oust a board member after the board member publicly raised concerns about the organization's leadership and financial future, but the vote failed. Then 2 board members gave up their seats on the board in December and claimed that the organization conducted a sham board election, is awash in secrecy, and plagued by entrenched power. 2 of 4 Atlanta Pride staff members resigned in December and January. 3 more committee members resigned in January. 1 said he was heartbroken to see what the organization has turned into in a very short period of time. Do you know anything about this?
Well, yeah, I don't know if you know this, but I was treasurer of Georgia Equality from 2004 to 2014, and I was very familiar with how the Rush Center was and, you know, the tenants there, including Atlanta Pride. And what makes me sad is, I was friends with Philip Rush, the namesake of that, and I actually met with him a few days before his untimely death. And we were talking about, you know, the future and how to get progressive suburban Republicans to support, to move our equality mission forward. And it just makes me sad. I know, you know, and his namesake being over there. And they're good people. I just hope they can come together and as a team again. I just hate that things are in such a bad shape.
Yeah, what I want to say about this is that I know that every board member on the Atlanta Pride Committee and every staff member, including the executive director, Ms. Ferguson, they are there because they want to be and because they want to help the community. So we have to remember that before we start besmirching other people, because I don't think that that's cool. But let's move on. So this happened in Providence. Wait, no, this happened in the Virginia State Legislature last week. Did you hear about this? Chaos erupted inside the Virginia State Legislature this week after a local pastor unleashed a 7-minute homophobic diatribe on the House floor. Reverend Robert Grant Jr. of the Father's Way Church in Warrenton, Virginia, was invited to give the opening prayer for the legislative session. Generally speaking, the ceremonial prayer is meant to be non-political and appeal to a broad number of faiths and backgrounds. However, Pastor Grant apparently did not get that memo. So after warning House members that they were at risk of suffering God's wrath for not following the words of the Bible, Grant began railing against same-sex marriage. So this is Grant speaking. Marriage is to join a biological man and a biological female in holy matrimony, not to provoke the Almighty God. Without laws to protect traditional marriage, Virginia will be reduced to increased fatherless children and welfare victims and homelessness, a tax burden to us all. As he was speaking, somebody in the room called out, "Is this a prayer or a sermon?" Anyway, the Democrats started walking out. The Republicans stayed, but eventually they disavowed it. But I guess the point here is that, you know, we had talked, Jamie and I talked the other night, and, you know, Jamie was saying that he felt like, you know, for the most part, except for the laws around the right to not be fired for being gay, that we kind of checked most of the boxes and we feel like we might be okay, but yet we still see these things happening all the time, which is really disconcerting. And it begs the question, you know, how do we address this kind of stuff in a more forceful or a helpful way, I guess?
I think the good thing about it is when this does occur, it makes the news, and it's a rarity that that happens these days, and there's an outrage about it. I mean, you know, I'd like to know who vetted this guy before he went in there.
Right, right.
Sort probably of read up on him a little bit.
Maybe the same person that vetted Sarah Palin.
Yeah, that didn't work out so well.
All right. So, by the way, I liked your man, John McCain. He was a good man.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I supported him, too.
Okay, we'll go on.
But y'all like them. Y'all like dead Republicans.
Oh, would you stop that? Okay, this happened in Staten Island, which... who cares about Staten Island? But anyway, apparently, a grassroots movement to allow LGBTQ people to march in Staten Island's New York's annual St. Patrick's Day parade has failed yet again. Queer Staten Islanders have tried for years to secure a spot on the St. Patty's Day parade, only to find their efforts rebuffed. This year proved no exception, despite the efforts of several community groups, including Pride Center of Staten Island and the Gay Officers Action League. Gay officers. Parade organizers have rejected the inclusion. So anyway, I don't know. What do you think about that?
I think they should just do it.
March in the parade anyway?
Yeah, well, for Stonewall, you know, just come back. What are they going to do, arrest them?
Probably. Yeah, it would certainly be
that would make you. Yeah, that may be what needs to happen.
Oh, I think that's a wonderful idea. I like that idea. See, Jamie, helping the cause.
Yeah.
Good for you. All right. So this happened in the United Kingdom. And then we got one more after this. Christian evangelist Franklin Graham has criticized LGBT. Now, Franklin Graham is apparently Billy Graham's son. Yeah. So he has criticized LGBTQ activists who successfully managed to derail his planned tour to the UK. So this U.S.-based pastor, Franklin Graham, the son of Billy Graham, was due to appear in 8 large towns and cities around the UK later this year, kicking off in Glasgow in May. However, following petitions and lobbying, every venue has now canceled his planned appearances. Yesterday, Graham took to Facebook to criticize those who had managed to get the tour canceled. He denied being homophobic and instead asked if his critics are actually truth-ophobic. Opposition to the gospel shouldn't really surprise us. Jesus warned that it would come. As you may know, my 8-city evangelistic tour across the UK has been met with resistance by queer activists who inaccurately claim that I'm homophobic. But anyway.
Well, so, you know, he has an extremely attractive pool boy that lives with him.
Are you serious? Yeah. Why is it always like that? Why is it always... Jamie, this is getting better and better and better. All right. So, all right. So this is the last thing, which I think this comes under the heading of quite ridiculous. But a married couple divorced on TV, a gay married couple divorced on television following a dispute over their different love of two female rappers, Cardi B and Nicki Minaj. The two rappers have notoriously feuded in public, and the two men who are married argued over which rapper started the conflict. The argument was so bad that it led to divorce. In a recent episode of the reality TV show Divorce Court, featured Dante and DeAndrew, a couple that has been married for 2 years after dating for 2 years, why Dante is a Cardi B fan, DeAndrew is a Minaj fan. And Dante said that their silly feud merely worsened their underlying relationship issues. Yeah, I bet you they have underlying relationship issues.
Yeah, why don't we have a court show, a gay divorce court? I mean, that would be great.
You know, there's this thing where we don't want to get divorced because we're afraid it's going to look bad. But anyway, I just thought that was funny and ridiculous. And so with that, we will be right back.
Be whatever that you tell me when you're ready. Yes, I'll be your girl, forever your lady. You ain't never gotta worry.
Hey, now, this is Russ Still. I want to thank everyone who made the WRFG, Ormwood Opry, Valentunes Dance and Dessert Bar a night to remember. So a special thank you to All In Red for the music, the kind folks who made the wonderful desserts, our talented photographer, and the Ormwood Church for hosting us. We also want to thank our hardworking volunteers and everyone who came out to celebrate and support WRFG. Join us on Sunday, March 1st for WRFG's 5th annual Americana in the Park celebration. It'll be at the Park Tavern in Piedmont Park. You can get more details and order advanced tickets at WRFG.org. As always, proceeds benefit WRFG 89.3 FM. We are your independent community radio station for progressive information and hand-picked quality music.
And we are back. You are listening to Alternative Perspectives on WRFG Atlanta 89.3 FM. I am your toast. I am your toast. I am your bagel. Anyway, I am your host, Greg Bossen, and we are speaking with Jamie Inslee, Atlanta's caucus leader of the Georgia Log Cabin Republicans. Or actually, I think you're just basically king. Is that what it is?
Well, I'm actually president of the Georgia Log Cabin Republicans and the immediate past national chairman of Log Cabin.
Yeah, I was going to brag a little bit about you. So let's see. You already talked about he served on the board of the National Log Cabin Republicans. You're the immediate past president. What did they run?
The chairman.
They ran you out.
Yeah. No. I'm still on the board.
All right.
Yeah, I'm just not doing all the big stuff anymore.
All right. Okay. In case you're wondering if because he's a Republican, this means he's against gay rights, that is definitely incorrect. First of all, he is gay, but as a matter of fact, in 2010, Jamie was the second witness in the Don't Ask, Don't Tell trial held in federal court in California. Federal court judge Virginia Phillips ruled that Don't Ask, Don't Tell was unconstitutional, and in the court's final opinion, it stated that Mr. Inslee's testimony was both candid and credible. Which is amazing because you seem extremely incredible to me. But anyway, all right. Well, incredible is actually a good thing. Never mind.
That's good.
Not credible. Okay. I accidentally gave you a compliment. This court victory was the final catalyst that influenced Congress to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So in 2010, Inslee was honored to serve as one of the grand marshals for Atlanta's Pride's 40th anniversary celebration.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for your efforts in getting Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So why don't you start by just giving us a little bit of background. The first question to me just seems like the most obvious. Where did the name Log Cabin come from?
Well, Log Cabin is a reference to our first Republican president, Abraham Lincoln, who was born in a log cabin. So that's where the symbolism comes from.
Why? Is he gay? People said that he was maybe gay.
I don't know if you ever saw that episode of American Dad. They had an episode about Log Cabin, and there was the premise of this play that the gays went there because it was a play about Abraham Lincoln being gay. The whole cartoon, I'll have to send you the link to it. It's pretty funny.
But I still don't understand, how does Abraham Lincoln, is it just because he was a Republican?
Well, no. He was a humanist, and, you know, he founded our party, which was founded on equality and freedom. And so that's, he's the founder of we identified with Abraham Lincoln as, you know.
So I'm wondering if there was an intentional decision to take that name. Because it's associated with somebody who's considered such an important part of the Republican Party as a way of hopefully getting more, being more ingratiated into the party, I guess. That's what I'm wondering. Like, why would you choose that name? Because, when did it start? When did this happen? Oh, when did the Log Cabin Republicans begin?
That's a great question. Log Cabin, we're first the oldest and largest conservative, libertarian, LGBT, straight ally friend organization. We were started in 1977 in California. And it was started because of the Briggs Initiative during that time when Reagan was governor of California.
What's the Briggs Initiative?
And it was an initiative started by a state representative, I think he was a senator, a state senator in California, was trying to pass this awful legislation to prevent gay teachers from teaching children. And there was an uproar with gay conservatives, and they were fighting that. And actually, Reagan stood up against that. And that was the first gathering of our group, and that's where the name came up with Log Cabin. And we were mostly on the West Coast for many years, and then we spread throughout the country. Right now we have about 53 chapters across the country, including Georgia. Georgia is one of our older chapters. We were started like in the early 90s.
Well, there's only 50 states. Do you mean some states have more than one chapter?
Exactly. California's got a lot. They probably have like 10 chapters.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Florida, what are the, name me a state that doesn't have a chapter then.
Mississippi.
Oh, I just love talking to a Republican that's willing to laugh with me about stuff like that. That's awesome. All right, okay. Well, again, and I won't belabor the point anymore, but it seems to me that there was an intentionality to picking Log Cabin Republican as the name, because how are you going to go against Abraham Lincoln? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and assume that that's the case. So anyway, so and who started it, actually? Is there an individual person, or this was the group that was fighting for the teachers' rights?
Right. There was a group. Actually, we have a couple of board members that have been, we're 43 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have like three or four board members that are, no, probably three, that were the original founders. And, you know, back then it was a different time in the 70s. You know, Anita Bryant, that was going on, you know, so they've seen a lot through the history of our organization. And I just hate that the people that founded, so many members that we've had have passed on, over the years that they didn't see marriage equality happen.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ask, don't tell happen. Oh, both of those things happened while I was national chair.
So it's kind of because of you.
Yeah, I'll say no, right. No, it was many, many people over the years. I did, you know, it's a lot of people worked. A lot of people we've lost over the years that, you know, have fought for this that, you know, young people today have no idea what it was like 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah. Totally. All right. So, and just out of curiosity, I wanted to know, like, what the split was between men and women. I have this idea there's more men than women.
Well, there are.
Okay.
And I don't, you know, there's, I don't know why. I would say that it's probably 80-20.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Now, Georgia is, unfortunately, we need more women. Mm-hmm. You know, it's probably 90-10 here.
Yeah. All right. I have a friend who went to high school with me I could send your way. She's gay and a big-time Republican, so maybe I'll send her your way.
She'll get a free toaster.
She loves Donald Trump. Loves him.
Okay.
So. But anyway, so, and how many members do you have nationally, would you say?
Nationally, I was finding out about, we have about 10,000 nationally.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Locally, you know, we haven't really been, you know, we do a lot of stuff on social media, like I mentioned. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a lot of followers on Twitter and a lot of engagement on Facebook. I mean, we actually have 64,000 followers. The Georgia Log Cabin does. I mean, it's just crazy.
Wow.
But, you know, here locally, I was looking at the actual paid members that we have, and what I pulled up is we have about 132.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then, and we had talked about this when me and you talked before, there are straight members that come.
Yeah.
So why do you suppose that is, that a straight person would come?
And it's more now. It's very interesting. No, we've always had straight allies. I mean, sometimes it's because they have a loved one that's gay and, you know, that they're conservative and they want to support. But, you know, I spoke at the Buckhead Republicans last week, and so well, I mean, they were so excited to see me. It was just so warm and accepting, and it was a great, because you never know when you're going to a mainstream Republican thing how you will be accepted.
Have you had negative? Have you had any negative experiences in your time as the representative?
Well, you know, when I always make a joke, it was when I first came out, it was awful. It was people were like, why do you want to come with those? It's just god awful. Why do you want to do that? And that was just coming out as a Republican, not gay was cool. I was a Republican, was gay. That was probably, but within the Republican Party, I can honestly say that I have never had a bad experience or been treated badly, at least to my face. But
so you're basically saying that the gay community has been a little bit more, you've had some negative experiences with the gay community about being a Republican more so than you have with the Republican community about being gay.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. All right. And I think we should listen to you when you say that, because I think that's, you know, I do think that happens.
Well, you know, the interesting thing that's happening now when I speak to these girls, I spoke to the, I mean, this has never happened before. I went to the Atlanta Young Republicans and they were celebrating Pride Month. And I was a panelist there. And the questions that I get when I spoke to the Metro Atlanta Republicans, the Buckhead Young Republicans, and of course the regular Buckhead Republicans last week. And the question they asked me is like, what can we do to get more support from the LGBT community? It's a question every time.
What did you say?
I was like, the fact that I'm here and there's outreach, that's a huge step forward and historic, because we, you know, we've been around, mm-hmm. you know, this, I guess the Georgia Log Cabin Republican chapter's been around for 20 years or so.
About suggesting that they support bills that will prevent gays from being fired for being gay in Georgia? How about bringing that up?
Yep. And as a matter of fact, you know, I don't know if you know this, that Republicans have dropped our own version of the Equality Act that Log Cabin is supporting, which supports it. And that is, I believe that is the last stone in our fight for equality is fair housing and employment.
Okay.
I mean, pretty much a gay person today, the majority of the LGBT community can live normal lives without fear of discrimination for the most part.
I mean, I think there's a number of people that would disagree with you. Yeah. I think it has to do with where you're located. And just to be fair, you've had a very good experience here in Georgia, but that's not necessarily the case. Like in Texas, you were telling me what happens in Texas.
Yeah, it's
the Republican Party refuses to accept the log cabin chapter. They won't let them come to their meetings. Is that right?
Well, we have two chapters in Texas, in Houston and Dallas, and the state convention, the state Republican convention, and they've refused them to have a simple table there, which is just, it's just awful. But, you know, the funny thing is, years ago, people just blew it off and not ever, but we actually have supporters now, like Congressman Dan Crenshaw, you know, the one with who wears the patch over his eye. He's came out in support. And also Senator Cornyn has also supported log cabin. I think things are going to move forward. You know, sometimes you have these stalwart, long-time right-wing people that have power in the party and they prevent, you know, progress. Like, I believe the chairman of the party is like 77. You know, he's old school. But, you know, we're breaking through. I mean, it's unfortunate. We have no problem here in Georgia. I'm good friends with the GOP chairman. And, I mean, we're invited. I mean, they said, are y'all having a booth this year? You know, so it's totally different in Georgia. I don't know why, but it is.
Yeah, well, that, I mean, I think part of it is because Atlanta is such a mecca for gay people all over the Southeast. But all right, well, this is a good stopping point. You're listening to Alternative Perspectives on WRFG Atlanta 89.3. And we're going to take a quick break here. We will be right back.
They say, oh my God, I see the way you shine. Take your hand, my dear, and place them both in mine. You know you stopped me dead while I was passing by. And now I beg to see you dance just one more time. Ooh, I seek you, seek you, seek you every time. And oh my, I like your style. You make me wanna try. And now I beg to see you dance just one more time. So I say, dance for me, dance for me, dance for me.
All right, and we are back. You are listening to Alternative Perspectives on WRFG Atlanta 89.3 FM. I am your host, Greg Bossen, and we are speaking with Jamie Inslee, I'm going to call you the head of the Georgia Log Cabin Republicans and the past president of the National Log Cabin Republicans. And you have been quite nice so far. All right, folks, now we're going to get serious. So we're going to talk now about some things that I've found, and I've given him the heads up so he doesn't feel blindsided here. So the first thing that I want to do is I have in my hand here the 2016 Republican Party platform. And I'm going to read you a couple of sentences from the platform and then get your response. Let's see. This is under the marriage, family, and society section. Foremost, and so again, this is from the Republican Party platform in 2016. Foremost amongst institutions is the American family. It is the foundation of civil society, and the cornerstone of the family is natural marriage, the union between one man and one woman. Everyone should be concerned about the state of the American family today, not because of ideology or doctrine, but because of the overwhelming evidence of experience, social science, and common sense, all of which give us these truths about traditional marriage. Children should be raised in a two-parent household, and specifically they're referring to a man and a woman. So let's see. Our laws and our government's regulations, this is right from their platform, should recognize marriage as the union of one man and one woman and actively promote married family life as the basis of a stable and prosperous society. For this reason, we do not accept, so this was written in 2016, we do not accept the Supreme Court's redefinition of marriage, and we urge its reversal. Whether through judicial reconsideration or a constitutional amendment returning control over marriage to the states, We oppose. So basically, these people are still the platform of the Republican Party that you ran on in 2016, specifically wants to overturn the law on this. So how do you, first of all, do you agree that men and gay people should be able to marry?
Of course, I signed several amicus briefs to the Supreme Court for marriage equality.
Okay, so then how do you reconcile this?
Well, let me address that first of all, because I was at the 2016 National Convention as a special guest of the RNC. You know, these platform committees probably have the kookiest, you know, Bible thumpers on there. We did... So you know that Log Cabin, we ran in the Cleveland paper where the convention was held, we ran a full-page ad protesting this platform.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. The other thing is we're trying to work on this year's convention. We're trying to change the platform. But, you know, in the end of the day, the platform really doesn't elect anyone. People, I mean, they'd like do it and then it just goes away. But what I would like to read is, this is kind of special to me.
Before we do that, let me just say one thing. So your answer is basically the platform is somewhat meaningless. So I was able to kind of look the other way on it because nothing really happens as a result of it.
Well, we didn't look the other way. We did run.
No, but once it passed, it wasn't going to be a reason to leave the party because you were like, they're not really going to do anything. Like if you felt they were really going to fight it, if they were really going to govern using that plank,
that would be different.
Yeah. Then you would consider leaving the party.
Yeah. Well, so, I don't know if I'd leave the party.
But you would continue.
Well,
to
this
fight.
Is the thing about the Republican Party. The Republican Party is a party of the people. There's not the right wing people run the party or own the party. No one owns a party. It's the people that run the party, and we're part of the people.
Well, that you could say that about any party.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's nothing unique to the Republican Party.
No, but you know, Trump was nominated at the convention, and of course, these people on the platform committee supported President Trump. Now, this is a letter that a lot of the liberal media did not talk about. Was Lockheim is 43 years old, and on our 40th anniversary, we got a letter from President Trump. And this was dated December 21st, 2017. And he says, I send my congratulations to the Log Cabin Republicans on the celebration of your 40th anniversary. We are a nation founded on the deniable truth that all of us are created equal. We're equal in the eyes of our Creator. We are equal under the law, and we're equal under our Constitution. No matter the color of our skin or our sexual orientation, we all live under the same laws, salute the same great American flag, and are made in the image of the same Almighty God. As we write the next chapter of our nation, we will reaffirm our commitment to the fundamental truths and will work to ensure that all Americans live in a country where they feel safe and where their opportunities are limitless. Melania joins me in sending her best wishes during this special milestone. President Trump.
Okay. Well, I hear that that's a letter that he stated, that he wrote. I mean, I don't know that he wrote it individually, but I know that he signed it. I see the signature on there.
You can frame the copy. I'll send you a framed copy.
Please send me a framed copy. When you look at his actions lack of action, they may suggest otherwise.
Well, I don't.
For instance, let me just say that I'm going to bring this up. The ban on the transgender community that from serving in the military.
Okay,
that's like that is diametrically opposed to what's being suggested in this letter. How do you reconcile that?
Well, Log Cabin is on the record and are lobbying the White House to not do that. You know, of course.
I mean, it's already done.
Well, it's done. Yeah, we disagree with that. We're on record of stating our opposition to that.
But it's not enough to.
Well,
it's not important enough to leave the party over it.
Not one issue, no.
Okay.
I mean, there's other things that are more important than you know, the America.
Are there other things more important than gay rights?
Yeah.
So.
Country first.
Before gay rights.
Yes.
Okay.
I get God, country, family, then gay rights fall somewhere like that.
Okay.
For me personally.
Okay. So if we were in a situation where President Trump wins again, mm-hmm. And Justice Ginsburg retires or passes, and he puts another conservative in the seat. And somebody tries to fight to get the law changed to maybe throw the marriage back to the states or make marriage illegal again between, you know, or define marriage between a man and a woman. That would be a problem for you, a big problem for you. But in your view, there are things that are more important than that, like, for instance, that the economy is doing really well, or is that, am I framing that correct?
Well, I mean, that's a hypothetical situation. I don't
which
think
may
that,
occur.
Yeah, well, it took years to get a marriage equality case in front of the Supreme Court anyway. I mean, it'd take years. I don't think that they would take, I mean, it would be very unlikely that they would take a right away that we already have.
I guess I'm just trying to, I'm trying to gauge how much you will take before you say enough.
Well, the problem for me, I mean, to be honest, I grew up as a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
My family, I don't think my mom ever voted for a Republican. She hated Nixon when I was growing up. But, you know, I don't identify with the Democratic Party. I feel it's gone too far left. I mean, the leading candidate in the Democratic Party is a socialist. I mean, mm-hmm. I just can't reconcile the...
Well, I'm not suggesting where you would go to, yeah. But what I am suggesting is that the party that you are affiliated with is a party that has many people that are leaders and many people that are followers that would like to overturn that law and make marriage illegal again. And if given the chance and the opportunity, and according to their platform, they would want to try and do that. And I just think it's, I guess what I'm saying is, like, the comment that you're making, which is, it would be difficult. It would take years. I just can't see them taking away this right that they've given us. You know, I hear that. But that's the same argument that, like, other Republicans like my brother uses.
Well, I don't know. I don't know any. I'm trying to think of, like, a major Republican leader that's an elected official that's trying to overturn marriage equality.
I mean, now this is where I wished I had something, because I know that there's cases out there right now. There's one in Tennessee. But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I guess what I say back to you, because basically it's kind of like, well, I just don't think that's going to happen. Well, I would say, this is what I say to my brother, I don't have that luxury to gamble, because I feel like it's a gamble.
I think that if there were a nominee that was, you know, of course they're interviewed. I mean, they're confirmed by the Senate. I think if there were a candidate, and they get asked all kind of crazy questions, and that will come up, if, you know, what's their position on marriage equality? If there is a candidate that supports repealing marriage equality, I think they will have a very tough, difficult time to get confirmed on the...
Well, perhaps.
Yeah.
I mean, but I guess the point is, I still think that there's a decision that you're making, and that the people that are part of their log cabin Republican Party are making, and that is that, And you kind of said it, country comes first, and that the rights of the LGBTQ community, the rights of really any individual community, need to be put after what's good for the country as a whole.
Well, if you don't have a country, you don't have rights anyway.
Well, that's certainly true, but what I would argue is that our country is built on the rights of those that are marginalized. That's how the country started. And what good is having a country if we throw out the idea of why, the whole idea of what it means to be an American, just so that we can have higher GDP. Well, which I'm not suggesting, and I don't, and by the way, I don't think that the reason why we have increased GDP is because of the Republican Party. But if we just cede that to you, if we just say, yeah, that's the case, that, you know, things are better now because we have a Republican in the office and these other things that are like where he's kind of trampling on our rights, like, for instance, the transgender community, not as important as what's good for the whole. I think that's what you're saying. You disagree with it, but it's not enough to really do anything about it.
I went to federal court to fight for the LGBT community, and T was included during my testimony in federal court. And Log Cabin's lawsuit was to include everyone. And, of course, you know, it was Bill Clinton that signed Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the law anyway.
Well, I know, and it was a stepping stone, yeah. I agree. Yeah. But and I guess what I would just say, you know, I'm just wondering when is it enough? But let's move on here, because I respect your opinion, and you're not the only one that has it, that, you know, yes, this is upsetting about the transgender community, but when I look at my 401k and I look at what's happening with the employment rate, it's not like I'm going to kick this person out of office over it.
Well, that's why it's important to probably pass the, you know, housing and employment. I mean, and, you know, hopefully we will convince the White House to repeal that restriction on allowing transgender in there. But
I don't think that's going to happen.
And I'm not an expert. I think I've told you this before. I'm not an expert on transgender issues. I'm trying to get better. You know, I talk to we have transgender members in Log Cabin. Our chapter leader in San Diego, she's transgender and serves on the board of the NRA. But you know, the transgender community faces the most discrimination out of all of us.
Well, and I do appreciate you saying that. Yeah. And I think as a result, they deserve to have the support of the gay community. And I question being able to do that effectively from where you are.
Well, I mean, that's why it's important to have Log Cabin as a voice within the Republican Party.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I just wondering, you know, I'm concerned about what's going to happen if this man gets in office again over the next 4 years with stuff like that, because he'll be completely unfettered.
Yeah. When we're trying, you know, I'm trying to do my best to learn about the issues of the transgender community. I dare say the Georgia Log Cabin Republicans was the first chapter in the country to endorse a transgender candidate for office. And that was Michelle Bruce. She was elected, she was serving on the city council of Lake City, Georgia, and we endorsed her.
Yeah. And you know, I don't doubt, you know, your support. Again, when you add it up, I would be concerned. But I do understand what you're saying. We do have to take a quick break here. So we will be right back. You're listening to Alternative Perspectives. And when we come back, we'll have a few more minutes, but we'll try and get nice again.
It's almost time. WRFG's Americana in the Park celebrates a fifth great year on Sunday, March 1st, with some of Atlanta's finest musicians, including Don McCallister and Claire Pearson, collectively known as the Orimwoods.
Hey babe, I think I love you, but it's probably too soon to say.
We'll also have the amazing Unknown Lyric and Kim Ware's indie folk and Americana collective, The Good Graces.
His eyes were dark brown, and his heart was made of gold, and his smile, though infrequent, well, it was bright and bold.
And to kick things off, the Celtic Company, including some members of the Buddy O'Reilly Band. We'll also treat you to a unique performance by the Candler Park Water Ballet on land and honor Sharon Wiggins. Sharon produced WRFG's long-running Peach Blossom Festival and is the driving force behind our Sunday morning Americana show, My Own House. Please join us, rain or shine, at the Park Tavern in Piedmont Park on Sunday, March 1st, for WRFG's fifth annual Americana in the Park celebration. The doors open at noon and the music begins at 1. We'll wrap things up around 6. Americana in the Park tickets are $15 in advance through WRFG.org or $20 at the door. Kids under 12 get in free. The Park Tavern is located at 500 10th Street Northeast, Atlanta 30309. Proceeds benefit WRFG 89.3 FM, your independent community radio station for progressive information and hand-picked quality music.
And we are back. You are listening to Alternative Perspectives on WRFG Atlanta, 89.3 FM. I'm your host, Greg Bossen, and we are talking with Jamie Inslee, Atlanta's leader of the, well, Georgia's leader, the Georgia Log Cabin Republicans. So I'm going to talk about, I'm going to bring up a couple of things to just get your take on this as a Republican. So one thing, and this has to do with equality in the workplace. So I'm sure you're aware of this, but if not, I'll tell you. Gerald Bostock is a gay man. He began working for Clayton County, Georgia as a child welfare services coordinator in 2003. During his 10-year career, he received positive performance evaluations and numerous accolades. In 2013, he began participating in a gay softball league. Shortly thereafter, Bostock received criticism for his participation in the league. He was criticized for his sexual orientation, and during a meeting in which Bostock's supervisor was present, at least one individual openly made disparaging remarks about Bostock's sexual orientation and his participation in the softball league. Then the county informed Bostock that they would be conducting an internal audit of the program funds he managed, and shortly afterwards he was terminated for conduct unbecoming of his employees. So basically, he was fired for being gay. Now, Trump's position, and Trump, and by Trump, I mean his Justice Department, the administration, their position is that gay workers are not protected by federal civil rights law. And as a matter of fact, the case has been taken up. So he's suing, and the case is taken up by the Supreme Court. Right. And I think that they had their briefs in October. What was it, October? And then there, we should get an answer sometime in June. But I'm just wondering how you support a man whose administration is openly in court trying to say, no, we should be able to fire people for being gay. How are you able to reconcile that?
Right. Well, I met Mr. Bostock at Pride, the Pride thing at the aquarium, and I thanked him for his bravery. To you know, because it puts your whole life in a goldfish bowl, you know.
Totally.
And he's a hero for going public with this. Discrimination on any level is wrong. Job discrimination is wrong. You know, I don't agree with this, but I'm not sure why this is taken this route. I don't know if Trump directed the Justice Department to follow the law. Because we ran into a similar situation with Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Don't Ask, Don't Tell, our lawsuit was fought by the Justice Department because President Obama directed his Justice Department to fight Log Cabin's lawsuit. And we were told that, well, that's because, you know, he's just following the law. So I'm not sure if this is the same situation, but I will say it's wrong. And, you know, we need to have a law to protect us as far employment and housing, and this covers that.
So what I would ask is that when you're in front of a group of Republicans like you were a week ago, and they ask you what it is that they can do to help get more people involved, you might say, you know what, why don't you get some of your congressional members or lobby to get them to support legislation to change this law?
And I agree. You know, we need...
But did you do that day?
I do. Every time we have a speaker at Log Cabin, I always bring up the last thing of the employment and housing.
Because my guess is if I was in your shoes and I presented in front of a group of traditional Republicans in Buckhead, I would be so bowled over and humbled by the fact that they were so ingratiating of me that I might be a little bit timid about pushing. Well, I'm not sure that you said that to them a week ago.
No, I did.
Okay.
No, I'll bring because it that, up. That I, would... bring, I bring, I tell them the struggle. I mean, I talk about the whole story, how long I've been involved with Log Cabin. I mean, I've spent my whole life fighting for equality for our community.
I know you have.
I mention that every time, but I always bring up the last big pillar of our equality movement is housing and discrimination. And this is a perfect case. I hope when the Supreme Court rules on this that they will rule in his favor. I'm not sure if it will, but if not, we need to keep the fight and get some sort of Equality Act passed through Congress.
Well, I think, you know, and we've just got a couple more minutes here, but in my view, This is my own personal view. It feels to me, because I'm assuming you're a Republican for other reasons. You're a Republican because you want less government, because you want us to keep more of our money. You don't have a good trust in federal government and things like that. The traditional
I'm
fiscal conservative type stuff.
Yeah, I'm packaged as a regular Republican, just happen to be
gay. Yeah. So, but there's all of these like gay issues. There's all of these gay, there's members of your community that are the Republican community that are very anti-gay, including the vice president, by the way. Who is a known proponent of conversion therapy. At least he was back when he was in Indiana. Mm-hmm. So I think you're basically just kind of not necessarily looking the other way in that you know that it's occurring, but it's kind of like it feels to me, and I think what you said probably hit the nail on the head more than anything, is that there are certain things that are more important. And, you know, which is the country, what's in the best interest for the country as a whole.
Right. You know, in our community, I think the most important thing, right? I mean, there's a lot of things we've talked about tonight, but especially in Atlanta, that we have an HIV infection epidemic in Atlanta.
Yes.
And the city of Atlanta and our mayor has mismanaged $41 million of HIV federal funds that should have been used to for HIV. Everyone's buried their head in the sand. This whole case.
Is this the money that went to the CDC?
I don't know where it went.
Because I think there was money that went to the CDC just recently.
My understanding is if they didn't appropriate it, we lost it. Mm. And back to the case with the employment, I mean, that happened in Clayton County, which is a super Democratic controlled county. You know, it should be a Democratic utopia. Why is there job discrimination in Clayton County?
Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah, you know, I don't.
So it's not necessarily just a Republican problem.
It didn't happen in Willie Coochie, Georgia, or somewhere like that. It happened in Clayton County, in Metro Atlanta.
Yeah. Well, I guess what I would say is I would want and those of that are like minded like me would want those Republicans that do identify as queer and are part of the log cabin Republican group to really push for these ideas. Push for our rights, because I think you're in a unique position to do it in a way that we aren't, particularly these days, because we're such a divisive country, right? A divided country right now.
Yeah, I have a voice. I think we right now, we endorse Kemp. We have a great relationship with the governor, I think we're probably the most powerful LGBT organization in Georgia right now, statewide.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
And, the thing is, we have a voice, but a lot of our members, they come to our meetings. When I go to parties and things, people come to me who's like, I support you. I can't come out as a log cabin Republican because my friends will disown me or it would hurt their business if they're small business owners. It's really kind of sad.
Yeah. Well, and I agree. And I mean, I considered myself an independent for a long time. I just, those of us on the left, we just feel like the Trump has basically taken over the Republican Party. And I think that the reason why, as you say, he's not supporting, his administration is actively fighting against this thing that happened with Bostic, is I think it's because it puts him in a better position for re-election. What I think.
But he has done some positive things that he doesn't get credit for. One is trying to end HIV/AIDS in 10 years, providing preventive HIV drugs for free for people that can't afford it. He's appointed 5 gay ambassadors, including Rick Grinnell, ambassador to Germany, who's a friend of mine. He's a log cabin member. And I was at a reception at a gay couple's house 2 weeks ago for Ambassador Grinnell, and Governor Kemp came too.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all we have for now. And I would like to invite you to come back. Thank you so much, Jamie.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I know that it can get, I'm sure you find yourself on the defensive all the time, but you seem to have a good attitude about it. So yeah. I think that's awesome. So thank you so much for listening. Next up, we have Americana Pie. I never can get it right. And next week, if you listen to me, we got a special edition of Alternative Perspectives. It's going to be called Greg's Funhouse. It's going to be quite intense. See you next week.